We're glad to have you joining us today, all of us online, but we're grateful that you're able to be with us and to share a lesson in just a few moments. Let's bow together as we pray as we begin. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the blessings that are ours. Indeed, we know that our Savior lives and that makes the difference, and we're grateful for that wonderful blessing that you gave us. When your Son came and died for us, and he rose from the dead to make it very clear to us that there's something for us on the other side as well. We pray you'd be with us today. May all that we say and do be to your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. That song serves as a perfect introduction to our lesson this morning, which I entitled As the Deer Pants for the Water. It's one of those songs that I think is a favorite of many folks. Suppose you get up in the morning and you have a breakfast of tears. And then it's time to go to bed at night and you have a late night snack of sorrow. Our author today suggests that that's about where he is as he is struggling. Our psalmist is really basically saying he needs to preach to his own soul and to say a bit about all of that. And we're going to work our way through this text. It's really quite interesting because three times he will preach to himself these words. My spirit, why are you so sad? Why are you so upset deep down inside? Put your hope in God. Once again, I will have reason to praise him. He is my Savior and my God. The real sentiment of this Psalms, the two Psalms we'll really be looking at today, Psalms 42 and 43, sounds very familiar to us. It's really a psalm of lament, a mournful prayer. It's given in desperation and affliction as the author feels some real struggle, and he's really struggling to understand what's going on. The two psalms that we'll be looking at today really are probably, should be probably understood as a single psalm. A number of Hebrew manuscripts will print these two psalms together, one right after the other. And so that's one reason. Another reason they're joined together is that Psalm 43 really has no heading. Psalm 42 will have a heading, which we'll look at in just a few moments, but there is no heading for Psalm 43. In addition to that, you'll notice that the verses that I just shared with you, Psalm 42, verse 5, is also in verse 11 of chapter 42, and it's in 43:5. It's a recurring refrain or a chorus to the song. And so in reality, I think we're looking at a single song. Our text begins, in reality, these two psalms, Psalm 42 and 43, are really three smaller psalms, each with three parts. In the first part, the psalmist is speaking to himself and declaring his anguish, his bad situation. He's lamenting what's happening to him. In chapter 42, verses 1 through 3, and 42, verses 6 through 7, and then in chapter 43, verses 1 and 2. The second part, he remembers what God has done in the past for him. Chapter 42, verse 4, 42, verse 8, 43, verses 3 and 4. And then the third and final part is the chorus that we've shared just a few moments ago, or refrain. He composes himself and preaches to himself and says, basically, why are you so sad? And that's in chapter 42, verse 5, 42, verse 11, and 43, verse 5. Our psalm begins with a kind of introduction. For the director of music, a maskil of the sons of Korah. Apparently, this psalm is written by the sons of Korah, and many folks really think that this psalm is written for David, and it may really even be written about David and his exile when his son Absalom is trying to take the throne from him. It's called a maskil. That may be a meditative psalm or a teaching psalm. And so we're going to get this wonderful psalm. The psalm begins as we just sang, as the deer longs for streams of water, God, I long for you in the same way. I'm thirsty for God. I am thirsty for the living God when I can go and meet with him. My tears have been my food day and night. all day long, people say to me, where is your God? And so he begins here with this interesting refrain. He begins by suggesting that just like the deer is panting for the brooks of water, so his soul wants God. But he feels as though God is not with him. And in a very real way, the folks who are his enemies, the folks around him, are kind of making fun of him. After all, you're this child of God. Where is your God? And so they'll say, where is your God? They say it all day long. And you'll notice as I began, you see, in the morning he's sad, and in the evening he's sad. And so there's this sadness that really is a part of him in these first three verses. Let's skip to chapter 42, verse 6, where you see the same idea. My spirit is very sad deep down inside of me, so I will remember you here where the Jordan River begins. I will remember you here on Mount Hermon, on Hermon Mountains, and on the on Mount Mizar. And so he is saying his soul is very sad, but he's going to get to that remembrance, which we'll talk about more in just a few moments. He's going to suggest, I do remember. And then we're going to jump, we go on in verse 7. You have sent wave upon wave of trouble over me. It soars down on me like a waterfall. All of the waves and the breakers have rolled over me. You see his sadness. He feels this sadness, this compulsion to sort of say, where are you, God? And he's swallowed up by all of these terrible things. His soul is cast down. His soul is prostrate. He is bent over double because of all that he's facing. And then in verse 9, I say to my God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go around in sorrow? Why am I beaten down by my enemies? My body suffers deadly pains as my enemies make fun of me. All day long they say to me, where is your God? And there's that recurring refrain. Where is your God? You'll notice he begins by suggesting that God is his rock, but he feels as if God has forgotten him. Do you ever feel like God is not near you? Despite the fact that you're appealing to him and you care about him and you're longing to be with him, you feel as if he's deserted you? A lot of folks think this psalm may be part of the background of what's happening on the cross for Jesus, where the folks around him are saying, where is your God? You know, you're this supposed servant of God, this one who calls himself the Son of God, where are you? Why are you so distressed? And again, he is again suffering for all that's going around him. And it's interesting that he suggests that the waterfalls and the breakers and the waves are falling around him. His woes are incessant and overwhelming. But it's really quite interesting. We see the same thing in chapter 43, verse 1. God, when you hand down your decision, let it be in my favor. Stand up for me against an ungodly nation. Save me from those lying and sinful people. Again, that's the world he feels like he lives in. He lives in a world where he is surrounded by terrible things and terrible people. It's a pretty mournful psalm, isn't it? But there is hope. He goes on to say, you are my God, my place of safety. Why have you turned your back on me? Why must I go around in sorrow? Why am I beaten down by my enemies? And again, he feels as if he's losing the battle. Again, have you ever felt that way? You feel like everything is going the wrong way, and despite the fact that you care about God and you pray to God, the prayers don't get answered the way you'd like them to be answered. He doesn't seem to be there. And so our psalmist is really struggling with that very thing, that very call. And so he is missing it all. But he does remember some things. And so let's get to the parts of the psalms that talk about remembering. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with a throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise and a multitude keeping the festival. If indeed this is David and they're writing the psalm for David, David basically says, I go to the tabernacle, and when I go to the tabernacle, I lead folks there in a procession, and I remember how pleasant that worship to you was, God. Worshiping you and praise to you was everything. It was the whole multitude was keeping these wonderful festivals, and it was something that was really quite marvelous. And so there's this glorious corporate worship, and he remembers it. We see it also in verse 8. During the day, the Lord sends me his love. During the night, I sing about him. I say a prayer to God who gives me life. He does remember that there are times when it's very clear that God loves him. God's come to his rescue many times in the past. And he says this prayer to God who gives him life. And he, again, remembers what God has done for him. And so he remembers all of that. In chapter 43, verses 3 and following, we see the same idea. Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me back to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. Then I will go to the altar of God. I will go to God. He is my joy and my delight. You are my God. I will praise you by playing the harp. Again, David is again praising God because he remembers that God has delivered his people. And that whole picture of light there probably is the picture of their being in the wilderness and wandering in the wilderness. And you'll remember that God provides a cloud during the day and a light at night for them so that they can see where they're going and see where they are. God come to the rescue of his people Israel. And he basically says, God, I'd like to come back to that holy mountain, Mount Sinai, where you gave the law and what was very clear that you were with them. I'll go to the altar there and I will make a sacrifice to you. I see wonderful things happening. I will go to the altar. I will sing, you are my joy, you're my delight. God, you are my God. I will praise you by singing with the harp. And so he's basically putting together those wonderful songs. Thus far, we've seen in each stanza how the psalmist first expresses his grief and frustration. And then he forces himself to think of the past and the past victories that God has brought to his children and brought to even him. He remembers that God is there. The third element in each stanza is his determination and resolve between these two. He argues with himself, and he pulls himself together and regains his composure. He's preaching to his own soul. The psalmist tells himself, his faith reasons with his fears, his hope argues with his sorrows. It's David chiding with David, and so here we get it. The recurring refrain, my spirit, why are you so sad? Why are you so upset deep down inside? Put your hope in God. Once again, I will have reason to praise him. He is my Savior and my God. You'll notice he has real hope. God is his hope. I put my hope in you. It's interesting, again, that he sort of preaches to himself and basically calls himself to understand God's gracious deliverance. While mired in his grief and affliction, there still is hope, and he thanks God. I know that you have I have been given to know God's record in dealing with his people. My confidence triumphs over my despair. I don't have to wait until he acts to even thank him for doing so. There are at least two lessons I think we learn from these two psalms, and maybe three things that we learn from these two psalms. The first one is the psalmist grieves and remembers and composes himself with a sermon to his own soul. And he doesn't do it once, he doesn't do it twice, he does it three times. He refuses to concede that the battle to his enemies. He knows that God is his God. He's the kind of God who quenches his thirst. Even as the deer is thirsty for water, so my soul thirsts for you, and you give me what I need to drink. And so I am indeed blessed. He is indeed blessed by God. Second, we learn something about the nature of prayer in these Psalms. The psalmist vents his fears that God, who has acted graciously in the past and would yet do so in the future, he's upfront with God. He tells God exactly how he feels. And so I really think that it's all right for us to sort of tell God when we are frustrated. It's okay for us to tell God, God, I'm frustrated with this virus, this terrible COVID virus that we have all around us. I'm frustrated with that, God. And it's okay to tell him because he knows and he understands and he has graciously acted in the past and he will graciously do it again. He is indeed this wonderful God who makes the difference. And so he's upfront with God. Golden Gay says, God is big enough to take it and loving enough to absorb it all. Finally, the psalmist has endured all of this, and likewise will face lots of trials. They all come with a knowledge that it's all working out according to God's will. You'll remember back in chapter 42, verse 7, he says, he talks about the roar of the waterfalls and the breakers and the waves that have gone over him. The powers of chaos and trouble and evil have threatened him, but he's sure that God is there. There's this sense that I know God will answer the prayers, even though at the moment I feel frustrated. And so it's the overarching lordship of God. He indeed is in charge. Perhaps the time has come for us to take hold of ourselves and to preach a sermon to ourselves just as he preached the sermon to himself. We preach it not to other folks, but we preach it to our own soul. We remember God's ways. We recall his faithfulness. He is faithful to us. We compose and calm ourselves with the reminder that he who acted powerfully in the past will do so in the present and in the future. Our God is with us. It would be great if we could pray this prayer, this whole psalm, as the psalmist does, and we can talk about our frustrations. Oh, yes, we tell God about those, and he knows about those. He understands. And we can sort of tell ourselves that indeed we've put our hope in God. And I have reason to praise him. He's my Savior and he's my God. I think this is a wonderful psalm. It does remind us of prayer. And it's one of those psalms I think that has been so meaningful to folks. It's interesting, the song that we sang just before the sermon was one that talks about the very beginning of this psalm. As the deer pants for the water, the water brook, so my soul longs after you. And he feels as if God has deserted him. But he knows that God hasn't. Even when you're frustrated, you got to know that God cares and he hopes for us. He gives us hope. We hope that this psalm is a meaningful one to you, that you are able to sort of meditate on it and think about it and look at it. These two psalms, I think, go together very well, and they say something special to us. If you have any need and we can be of help to you in any way, please do contact us here at the church. We'd be happy to assist you in any way. Perhaps you've come to know the Lord and you want to be baptized, and we'd be happy to share that event with you. Perhaps you're struggling and you have some real needs. And again, if we can help in any way, please do let us know.